Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Good is good. I want to pretty much wrap up this series on money this Sunday. And I've got an interesting topic for next weekend. And after that, I'm going to start a brand new series. Actually, we're going to do two separate weekends coming up on two different topics. And you're going to enjoy them. And then after 2 weeks, I want to launch a series that I'm calling Heroes. We hear so much about heroes, and in our culture, there's confusion between celebrities and heroes. And so I want to talk about that for at least probably 6 weeks. And I think after those 6 weeks, we'll come out of that with a clear understanding on what it really means to be a hero. And we'll open up God's Word and look at it. And this morning, I'd like to start off, first of all, by simply reviewing, by looking at what we've talked about over the... You could have left it there. It wouldn't bother me. It was actually making me feel kind of comfortable. We started the first week with a passage of Scripture in Ecclesiastes, and you'll remember this scripture. It was better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. We live in a culture that tells us more is better. And so we just pursue more, and we tie ourselves up so much that we cannot enjoy so much of the things we have and some of the things that we're doing, and we end up in debt, and it's a different way to live. And then the second week, I talked about how to really break that down. How do you do that? And we looked at three specific prayers. Lord, give me self-control. Give me self-control. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 25, 28 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. In other words, if we lack self-control, we are so vulnerable. We live our lives being vulnerable to everything that happens in our lives. And then God, give me understanding was the second prayer. Hosea 4, 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the third prayer on that second Sunday was, God, give me a plan. And we just encourage everyone to take Financial Peace University. It is 9 weeks. The class is on Wednesday night. You will laugh heartily, and you'll enjoy the class, and you will come out of that class understanding all of the different areas of our lives in terms of finances. You'll have a full understanding as to how to buy the best insurance, what kind to buy, what kind not to buy. You'll start off with putting together an emergency fund and then snowballing debt and getting totally out of debt and then moving on there. And so many of us think investment is an impossibility because we're living paycheck to paycheck. And what you'll realize over those 9 weeks is that if you will follow this plan, you will move. You'll move from being in debt and living paycheck to paycheck and living by credit cards to a place where you no longer even use credit cards and you have margin in your finances and you can even begin to build wealth, which seems like an impossibility. God, give me a plan. And we encourage Financial Peace University. Proverbs 21, 5 says, plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. And last week, Chris Oakley talked about tithing and shared biblical principles on how God tells us to tithe. Today, I want to talk about the future. What I really want to talk about is future todays. We live our lives day at a time, one day at a time. And today matters, and we focus on today. And so often, especially in our culture, we're so caught up in today and what we want today, and what we think today ought to be, is that we forget that after today is another today, and another today and a whole future. And we spend our minds in this thought process thinking the way it is now is the way it's always going to be. I've had people ask me what I think of the millennial generation, of the next generation that's coming, because so many people are concerned about the millennials. They are so different than us. The reality is we raised them. They are so focused on their phones, and they're so different from us in so many ways. Let me tell you, I am probably more encouraged by the next generation that is coming than most people. Because one of the things that I've noticed is millennials, and we have them on our staff, and we have them here in our church, and they're volunteered and they're serving. Here's what I notice about them, is they are more committed than many generations before them. They are more engaged than some generations before them, and they have bought in and not afraid to focus their entire life on something they believe in, which tells me, and I'm going to talk about this over the next 2 weeks, which tells me that one of the things we absolutely must do is share who Jesus is with the next generation. If you think the government is going to fix things, if you think our hope is in the government or in any, our hope is in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. But then the most important event in history was when Jesus on that third day did what he said he was going to do, and he rose from the dead. That's the event that changed history. And the people that he invested his time in, the small group of people that he invested his time in, those same people focused on who he was and what he did and that resurrection, and they are the first century of the church. They changed their world to the degree that you and I today are sitting here simply because Jesus invested most of his time in their lives, and the result of their lives was the church. And they didn't even have this. We point to this so much, not to take a thing away from this, is God's word. We point to it so much. They didn't even have this, and they transformed their world. It's a big deal. Am I hopeful, millennials? Absolutely. I'm extremely encouraged and hopeful in the millennials that are following us, and we're pouring our staff lives into our millennials. But there is one concern, and we see it in the millennials, but it's not just the millennials, and that is we are so conditioned to instant gratification. Our culture, the heartbeat of our culture, is instant gratification. It's hard to think about the future when you're so focused on today. And you're so focused. We want what we want now. We all do that. And that's the wave of our culture. If there's a concern, that would be the concern. I pull out my cell phone and I'll text friends of mine or I'll text family members. And you know what I want? I want to see those stupid bubbles coming right back up, knowing that they're hearing when I'm texting them and they're going to reply right away. That's what I want, because we live in this now generation. We don't think about the future. We don't think about the future in our relationships. We don't think about the future with our bodies. We want Twinkies and Pepsi. We want what we want now. In areas of our lives, we're not thinking about the future, and we do it in the area of finances. That's what I want to focus on this morning. Now, let me just say this. The reality is there are some of us, and maybe some of you, maybe this service, next service, when the reality of living paycheck to paycheck is actually an accomplishment. because you're in a spot in life where things are just that difficult. We have single moms and we have single dads and trying to raise three kids and situations that find us at a spot in life where life is just difficult. And living paycheck to paycheck is our hope. It's actually the big accomplishment. And our hearts go out and working more than one job. And some of us are in those places. But what I want to talk about this morning really is most of us. Because most of us are not in that situation. And for those of you who maybe are in that situation, I think the important thing to remember is, yeah, that's where you are, and this is a season, but life will not always be like that. Most of us, that's not our problem. Our problem is we have a today-centered mindset. When we understand that tomorrow matters, when we understand that the future matters, it will change the way we handle our lives and our finances today. Because tomorrow is going to have a whole bunch of todays in it. And living those todays differently than we are living today is what matters. Proverbs 21:20. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Paycheck to paycheck. Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 6, almost with a sarcastic tone, you can see it in his writing. He's sarcastically, he's talking to someone who is not thinking about the future. And Solomon calls them a sluggard. Look what he says. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Go to the ant and learn, he says. Look what he goes on to say. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. In other words, don't put your hopes in the government. Don't look at the government. Look at the ant. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, and yet it stores its provisions in the summer, and it gathers its food for the harvest. The ant knows, and it prepares for tomorrow. The ant, on a continually basis, prepares for tomorrow. I want to look at a proverb. Jesus shared in Proverbs so often. He told these stories that painted a picture that got his message across in such a clear way and didn't leave any confusion at all. And in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is actually sharing a number of Proverbs in this whole passage, and he comes to this one passage, and he tells the story about a wealthy man who was going on a trip. And while he's going on a trip, he entrusts to his servants some of his wealth to take care of it and to deal with it properly. And Jesus tells this story. This master gave one of his servants 5 bags of gold, and he gave another one 2 bags of gold, and he gave another one 1 bag of gold, and the Bible actually says that Jesus says he gave it to each of them according to their ability. So he gave everyone opportunity, and he went on his trip. And in verse 19, he comes back from his trip, and the guy with 5 bags doubled. He invested and he worked hard and he doubled the amount. He had 10 bags of gold, and the guy with 2 bags of gold, he worked hard and he doubled it, and he had 4 bags of gold. And the guy with 1 bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and buried the gold. That was what he did to protect the gold so that he could give it back to the master. Jesus goes on in 19 to begin to continue this story. It says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought five other bags. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more bags of gold. His master replied, look what his master replied. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Jesus is laying out a principle here. Come and share in your master's happiness. Verse 22, the man who had two bags of gold also came. He said, Master, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. And see, I have gathered two more bags of gold. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Verse 24, the man who had received one bag of gold came and he said, Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. He did nothing with it but bury it. He played it safe. He had no concern for tomorrow. Look at Jesus' reply. And this is Jesus telling this entire story. Jesus says, so his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You hear those words? You wicked, lazy servant. There's another passage in Scripture that says, if a man does not provide for his family, he is worse than an infidel. And that's the language that it uses. You wicked, lazy servant. Don't miss that. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least gotten interest on the money. You didn't even bother to think about that, Jesus is saying. You gave this no attention whatsoever. Verse 28, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Why? Because well done, my good and faithful servant. What you've done with a little, because you've done with a little, and you were faithful with a little, I will make you in charge over much more. You know, some people think, why are we even talking? Why are we spending 4 weeks talking about money in church? Jesus talked about money than any other subject because he totally understood how money would be the struggle that we would have. And if it was important to Jesus, I believe it's important enough for us to be talking about it in church. I believe it's absolutely a must. If it's important to him, it should be important to us. So today I want to talk about tomorrow's. And I want to actually look at some principles. We're here today, but the reality is tomorrow's coming. Some of us, we've got this area of retirement and our future. We feel pretty well locked down, and we know how it's going to be. And for some of us, it's just totally up in the air, and time is marching by. It seems to me like we just came through Christmas and New Year's. Now we're going to step into September and another year. We're getting ready for Christmas here at Camelback. It's one of the things that our team is focusing on. This Halloween is going to be a blip, and then we're on our way to Christmas. I want to throw out some thoughts this morning, and I want to look at a couple of principles that I think are valuable. Two thoughts. There are two different ways to make money. If you're taking notes, one is people making money. This is the obvious way. What we do is we have talents and gifts and we have a job and we go to work and we do our job. And at the end of a pay period, maybe we work 40 hours a week, maybe 60 hours a week. Maybe you do even more than that. I can't even think in terms of a 40-hour work week. But whatever it is, and then the pay period comes and we make money. We take home money for the work that we've done. That's kind of the obvious way. But the second way is not people making money, but it's money making money. And some people never, ever think about that. Proverbs talks about it over and over again. Jesus talked about finances. We think, well, maybe someday I'll get to that stage. And that's the mindset that we have and we embrace. Matthew 25:16, is this parable. And Jesus said, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once, and he put the money to work, and he gained 5 more bags. When God entrusts you with something, you need to know that he entrusts you with it for a reason. God has entrusted the time that we have available to us. He's entrusted that to us. We have 2 choices. We can use it wisely or we can squander it. The relationship, the influence that God has given to each one of us, we can use it wisely or we can squander it and not use it wisely. Same thing with our finances. We have that choice. God entrusts us with finances, and we can either squander it or we can give 10%, save 10%, and live on the 80%. That is an easy way to follow biblical principles in terms of money. I want to talk this morning about that investing part just a little bit. Now, if you take Financial Peace University, you'll go through a process of having a much better understanding. There isn't a chance on earth I would tell you how to invest your money. Each one of us need to figure that out and know, but there are some clear guidelines, and I want to go over those this morning. The main thing we want to do is we want to invest wisely. We want to invest wisely. And there are some principles to that. We want to maximize today so that tomorrow will be different than it would be if we continued to live the way we are living now. Tomorrow matters in a huge way. So where do I invest? I can remember thinking about this even when I was in my 20s. Where do I invest? What should I invest in? And there are three statements that we're going to go over that I just think are so, so valuable. What to invest in specifically, I wouldn't even touch that because I've certainly done that wrong. I can remember in the 1980s, I wrote it down. In the 1980s, there was a Pepsi-Cola distributor in Northern Virginia. And I knew somebody who worked for the president of that company, and I was given some information about where that company was headed and what was going to happen and that it was on the market to be sold. And I was told that that would be a great stock to buy. And so I bought it. I just plumped all the money that I had extra right on that stock. And a really good thing happened. The stock doubled and then tripled and then split. I did really well with that stock. I wish I'd had a huge amount of money in it, and I didn't. But the amount of money I had in it, I did really, really well with. The bad thing about that is I thought that's the way stocks worked. In the 90s, I was told about a drugstore chain. If I said the name, you would all know the name. And that would be a good place to buy stock, but by someone who I certainly respected and still think a lot of. So I purchased some stock on that drugstore chain. And the stock has been going like this. And I purchased it. It's almost from the day that I purchased it, it started going like this. And it kept going like this. And I sold that stock, and I lost most of what we ever put in it. It just didn't work the way I thought it was going to work. I'd have been better off I'd have been better off taking all of the money that I put into that drugstore chain, buying Dr. Pepper, putting it all in Dr. Pepper, and drinking all the Dr. Pepper, and just saving and selling the aluminum cans. I probably would have had more money than I got when I sold that stock. Because that's what it does. It takes you on a path, and you don't know where you're going. And we do that. We invest our money in things like that. I'm being transparent with you. These are the things that I've done wrong. Another family member of mine and I, we heard about this investment firm. And they were pretty much geared to just helping pastors to raise money for their retirement. And we called some other pastors, got nothing but great reviews, and we decided, okay, we're in. So we both put some money into that. And before too long, I actually got a phone call from the FBI and another government agencies, and that whole thing was not what we were told it was. Do you know why? Because when you invest in things you don't understand, you are probably making a huge mistake. The first thing in your notes, do not invest, never invest in something that you do not understand. You'll hear somebody, here's a great opportunity. Well, explain to me what it is. Well, I'm not sure totally what it's all about, but if I put this much money in, then I'm going to get this, and there's a promise. But never invest in something you don't understand. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. By wisdom, underline the word wisdom. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, underline the word understanding. By understanding, it is established. Verse 4, through knowledge, underline the word knowledge. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Do you know what the writer of Proverbs is saying here? He's saying, with wisdom and with understanding and with knowledge, with those things, you will have success. Here's the question. With your finances, do you want to have success or do you want to have something else? Do you want to have success or do you want to fail? There are areas of investment that I've failed because this principle, don't invest in things you don't understand. One of the things I understand fairly well is real estate. I just understand it. It's really not very complicated. And it's not, some opportunities I have missed. I was in my early 20s, and a close friend of our family offered to me an apartment building. He offered it to me for a price of only $85,000. He was retiring. He was done. This thing had 26 apartments in it. It was in Brooklyn. And I was so busy and so involved in what I was doing, which was my music and traveling and singing, that was my focus, that I just didn't take that opportunity. And I turned to a close friend of mine, and I said, Reuben, you need to do this. And Reuben went and he talked to Charlie and they worked out a deal and Reuben bought that property for $85,000. From that point on, every single time I saw Reuben, he said, I owe it to you, I owe it to you. That property he sold about 8 years later for over $2 million. See, we can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from watching other. The best way to learn is from watching other people's mistakes. Don't invest in things you don't understand. Sometimes, guys, that means we need to listen to what our wife is telling us. I saw you nudge him. The second one, don't put, grandma told us this, don't put all your eggs in one basket. We've heard that all of our lives. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. The Bible tells us that. It's so clear in Ecclesiastes. He says, but divide your investments among many places, for you don't know what risks might lie ahead. Divide your investments among many places. The scripture actually tells us at least 7 different places. At least 7 places. So we're not going to put all of our money in just stocks. We're not going to put all of our money in bonds. We're not going to put all of our money in real estate. We're not going to put all of our money in gold or silver. We're actually going to spread it, kind of like you spread manure. We're going to spread it around so it's more effective. Don't invest in things you don't understand, and don't put all your eggs in one basket. We're going to diversify. We're going to actually take an investment. We're actually going to take our time, and we're going to learn a little bit. We're going to learn bit by bit. And yeah, we're going to make mistakes. But we're at least going to step into this arena. And through FPU, you will become so much more comfortable with this. And we're going to grow, and we're going to experience what God has, and we're going to get better and better at it. And we're not going to get hurt because we're not going to invest in things we don't understand. We're not going to put all our eggs in one basket. And number 3 is don't try to get rich quick. Don't try to get rich quick. Paul is mentoring Timothy, and he's mentoring Timothy in ministry, and he's mentoring Timothy in every area of life. And Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. He says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Gives Timothy real clarity on this. You see, when we get greedy, we're not objective. We're just not. We are not objective. And we fall into a trap. When something seems too good to be true, it probably is. How many times have you heard that? And I wouldn't even dare ask us to raise our hands. Some of us, if I were to say, how many of you didn't pay attention to that one and you got burned? Don't even raise your hand, because it would be enough of us. I hear things like, this is the investment of a lifetime. I know of one guy who borrowed $50,000 from his father-in-law and took out an equity line on his house, because there was a promise of about $20,000 a month, every month return. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Look at Proverbs 13. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. And some of us are thinking, I'm not wealthy. I don't have a lot of money. We're not talking about that. See, the reality is, when you take money and you add consistency to the money over the course of time, it equals wealth. But James, I'm in my 50s or in my 60s or in my 70s. This is a better time to start than never. And if you're young, everyone around you that is over 40 would turn to you and scream at you and say, just do this. Money plus consistency. A little bit of money consistently over time equals wealth. You may not get to millions, but you will get to a place in life where you're living Your tomorrow's today, and they are so much better than the yesterdays. Because it's not God's desire that you live paycheck to paycheck. It's not his plan that we live in bondage. As a matter of fact, over and over and over, he talks about it. Borrower is servant to the lender. You're a slave to that payment. I think it's difficult to want something more for someone than they want for themselves. My hope and my prayer is that in our church family here at Camelback, we would recognize if we're living paycheck to paycheck, that it's time to take this area and be willing to trust God with it and go through the 9-week class. Let me tell you, we don't do this 9-week class so that giving goes up. That's not why we do it. We do this 9-week class so that you and I can live in the benefit of living a life so different than a life that is in bondage. Credit cards will take, it's the reverse process of investing. It will take everything that you could possibly make away from you. But putting credit cards out of your life through the snowball debt process and getting rid of credit cards and then shifting to a place where we're living by a budget. The 10-10 principle, 10-10-80 principle is one of the simplest things I know. And for most of my life, I've done that. Give God 10% at least. Save 10% at least and live on the rest. See, over the course of time, you will find yourself understanding what investment is and what real wealth is. And this, listen, we're not just talking about money here. It's the same thing with our time. Giving God some of our time. Giving others some of our time. Investing some of our time. Stand with me this morning. Let's pray together. The culture around us will keep us living paycheck to paycheck. It's like Dave says, you almost have to get to the place where you say, you know what? I'm just not going to do that anymore. I encourage you to sign up at the table for Financial Peace University and take this area and give it to God and say, Lord, I'm willing. Let's do this. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much to even be willing to step out of areas that we think you should stay in our spiritual lives, and stepping into our practical lives, and all through the New Testament, being willing to talk to us about finances and remind us in the Old Testament your wisdom in finances. Lord, bless us, Father, as we head into this week and all of those who dive into the class on Wednesday, I pray that they just have a great time. I pray, Lord, that you'll use this class to transform not just their lives, but actually take their lives and build a legacy so that their children will live differently than they would have had they not taken this class. Lord, transform the areas in our lives as we lift them and give them to you. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen.